Gardner's Radio, how to produce gooseberry plants in containers.
Welcome to Gardner's Radio by Lubera Edibles, the podcast for professional gardeners. We are talking about edible plants.
Here at Gardner's Radio by Lubera Edibles, we want to give some help to our growers and customers how to produce all type of plants. We are selling young plants. And in this podcast, we want to talk a little bit about producing gooseberry plants. My guests here are the production specialists in our company. The first is Frederick Follert.
So, my name is Frederick Follert, and I work at Lubera Edibles, and there I'm responsible for product development.
And the second beside me is Robert.
I'm Robert Meyerhofer. I'm the production and nursery manager of Lubera in Switzerland.
He is the production czar. And we want to talk about the production of gooseberry plants. Now, gooseberry plants perhaps are not the most difficult plants to produce, but I think we have some interesting hints and tips. How important, Robert, are gooseberries in the market in Middle Europe?
I think they are important because when you have a production of berry plants, you also need gooseberries. You have not to produce the highest numbers of it, but I would say it doesn't work without gooseberries in your assortment.
They lost also market share to blueberries in the last 5 to 10 years?
Yes, of course. So blueberries rised up and gooseberries and currants are going down a little bit.
Okay. You're producing finished plants for our online channels and our other customers, and you're producing young plants for our professional customers.
Yep.
How important are the gooseberry young plants and how are you producing the gooseberry young plants?
The gooseberry young plants are not the most important group of berries in our assortment, but they are important. Just as Robert said, it's if you want to sell berries, you have to have gooseberries in your assortment.
Robert, can you make a guess if you are selling 10 plants of red currants, how many plants of gooseberries are you selling?
I would say 5 or 6 plants.
And within these 5 or 6, how many are red and how many are yellow or green?
Around 60% red and 40% yellow.
So the most important is
red currant.
red gooseberry?
Red gooseberry, sorry.
Red gooseberry. And the green is less important than the yellow one.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because they think they are not ripened or something.
I think so, yes. I think the red colors looks more
berry?
For more berry and more sugar for the customers. Yeah.
Okay. So, and you are producing, how are you producing the gooseberry young plants?
Our gooseberries came out of our micropropagation and we sell it in our standard 60 cell tray.
Okay, and there we have two sub-qualities?
Normally we have two sub-qualities, but we try to manage the amount that we only can sell overwintered quality.
Okay. Not the fresh of this season, but yep. Over the overwinter, which are easier to produce.
They are easier, they have some... woody shoots already, and they perform better.
They come out of cold store when they are delivered?
Not really. They were overwintered in a cold greenhouse, in a cold plastic house,
okay.
And but not stored in a cold storage.
Okay. When you are potting, now we are going. We have the young plants, so we are going to pot. When you are potting gooseberries, at what time are you potting them?
I think I would say between March and latest May you have to pot it, and you can pot the young plants out from the 60 cell in a 1 to 3 liter pot.
And what if you want to produce a 5 to 7 liter pot, what are you doing then?
Then normally you have to make a smaller quality. You have to put the young plants in a P9 or 1.3 liter pot for 1 year and repot in the next spring, in the autumn or next spring in a C5.
Okay. So you say if your end pot is more than 3 liter, you should use a P9 or bigger.
I think so. Yeah, we have also made 5 liter pots out of the plugs of the 60 cell plug, but you have to use strong growing varieties, and the quality is not as good as out from P9 or C1.3.
If you want a bushy plant, for example, a 5 liter with 5, 6, 7, 8 shoots, how are you going forward? How many times you have to prune back?
No, normally I would say 2 times in the season. Maybe when you have strong growing upright varieties, you have to cut the second time, third time. To keep the high, that the plant's not falling over, because the branches are not as strong as, for example, currants.
And at what height you are cutting back the first time?
I would cut it back as early after potting as possible. So maybe when the plants are 10 to 15 centimeters high, I would make the first cut.
So as fast as possible.
Yes, that you have as much as possible branches from the base of the plant.
Okay. With red and white currant, not so much with black currant. We have heard that the longest day is a problem, so plants are stopping at the longest day. What is the situation with the gooseberries?
That's not a problem. Gooseberries growing the whole season until summer or begin of autumn.
In gooseberries we have some susceptibility to mildew, powdery mildew, or American gooseberry mildew. Since also at our company, since 25-30 years, we are breeding for resistance. We don't have an absolute resistance, we have a very high tolerance. When you look at our varieties, which group of varieties is a little bit more resistant and which is a little bit less? And how can you compare the resistance to, for example, Invicta, which is an older standard variety?
So the mildew, the powdery mildew, is not a very, very big problem anymore in the production. If you use newer varieties like ours, I would say the the thornless variety, you don't have a problem with mildew, and a little bit you can have mildew on the thorny ones. But it's much better as for example in Victor or also the
Hinomaki
types.
Yeah. Okay, so and if you have mildew once, what are you doing?
You have to spray. Also you have to make a spraying against I don't know how it's called.
Leaf drop or black
spots on the black on the leaves, even. And also mildew. We making in our nursery since a few years a spraying with EM, effective microorganism, and and so it's very good working, but also you can make a spraying with a conventional.
So you say that if you are using effective microorganism, that's enough to have no problems with fungi.
It's a combination with other plant-based spraying things, biological spraying things.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it works.
It works, yes, of course.
And what is the distance from one spray to another?
With the EM spray program, I spray every 7 or 8 days. And when you make conventional spraying, normally you spray every 10 days. So.
Okay. If you want to have nice plants in summer, sometimes we have customers, you have customers which are interested having new plants in the garden center in August, September, and these plants should be fresh, green, 100%. How do you manage this with gooseberries, or is it with gooseberries easier than with the currants?
I would say it's the same as with currants. I would take the latest possible potting time, so the time between potting and selling season is short as possible to have green plants without infection of any fungi. Yes, and if you make chemical spraying, make it every 10 days, and if you make biological or with EM, you have to make it every 7 or 8 days.
Have you ever tried to produce gooseberry plants with fruits for the point of sale?
Yes, we have also done. That we have done a few years ago, where we made spraying chemicals, so you have a problem if you can sell the plants. With ripe fruit on it, it's not so. Depends on the country, but it's some things are not legal to sell.
Yeah.
When you spray it,
but with EM, with effective microbes, yeah, it shouldn't be a problem.
Shouldn't be a problem, no. But I think that is what the customer are looking for. They're looking for plants who bear fruits as soon as possible after buying. So I would say a bigger plant would be a better plant for the customer.
Yeah, because on the market place we see, because raspberries are sold in a 2-3 liter container, or all the plants are also sold now in a 2-3 liter container. And I think with currants, but also with gooseberries, we lose a possibility, a chance, a window to the market if we are not selling bigger plants. How big can a gooseberry see? What are the biggest plants you are selling from your production?
We're making 15 liters that are 3-year-old plants in a 50-liter pot, and they are full of fruit in the year where we sell it.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, and perhaps this is also a difference to the blueberries, because in blueberries you have also a good amount of fruit from very young plants, and this is not really always a possibility, because it's only on the third year, fourth year, that currants, and it must be a reasonable thick stick that they will fruit. What is the role of standard varieties?
It's not a very big role. I think it's a good product, because it's easy for the customer to pick. When you have thorny gooseberries, you have the picking on your eyes, on your eye level, and see where you want to pick the fruits. But I would say we sell 90% normal bushes and only 10% standards.
Yeah. Last question. In our assortment, we have two groups of gooseberries. We have the crisper varieties, which are the thorny varieties, but in the tendency a little bit bigger fruit, and also very, very good eating fruit. And we have then the easy crisp varieties with a little bit smaller fruit, but almost thornless. What is your experience with the thornless varieties? Are they really thornless?
They're not 100% thornless. They have a few thorns, mostly on the base of the plants, and you don't have thorns on the tips, on the new growth. And also you have lesser thorns on all the shrubs. So a young plant in the nursery have more thorns as afterwards in the garden by the customer.
Okay, so you have to wait. But and you have said they are also a little bit healthier, the thornless varieties.
They have lesser mildew as the thorny ones.
Okay. So I think these were some interesting information about gooseberry production for you. If you have more questions, please ask, not to me, but to my colleague, Frederick. frederick.forward@luberaedibles.com. And we will publish the name below in the information. And so come back to our video cast and look other variety, other podcasts. It's the last, the 10th podcast of this first series. And we hope to produce in the future more, but not tomorrow. But one day we will. So come back and look if we have new podcasts for you. In the meantime, go on gardening and have a fruitful day. Thanks for hearing Gardeners Radio by Lubero Edibles. You find us on every platform for podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and of course on our website www.luberoedibles.com. Go on gardening.